everybody, and welcome to the International Sound Awards. This is the first podcast episode of our ISA Talk, and we're very pleased that you join us. In our ISA Talk, we invite interesting guests who also follow our vision to make the world sound better and ask them what they are doing to achieve this. My name is Birgit Elke, and together with my colleague Kai Bronner, I will today talk to Rainer Hirt, Managing Director of Audity. Actually, Rainer is an old friend of us, as he was one of the three founding members of the Audio Branding Academy back in 2009, together with Kai and Cornelius Ringer. Rainer now runs the sound agency Audity in Konstanz, Germany. During the talk, which we recorded a couple of days ago, remotely from our home offices, Rainer explains what Audity's guiding principle, sound follows function, means and what it implies for their work. Further, we had a closer look into one of their areas of expertise, sound for medical devices. And, talking about medtech and devices for intensive care units, we also learned what the coronavirus sounds like. Don't you believe it? Then go to the website www.coronavirus-sound.com and listen to it. There, Audity just launched the sound results of their artistic interpretation of the virus. But now, let's start. Hi, Rainer. This is our first ISA Talk, and we're happy and excited to have you as our guest today. Before we want to go deeper into the topic, could you please introduce yourself in a few words? Please also tell us a little about how it all started and what significance sound has in your life.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thanks for the invitation. I'm really happy to talk with you. We share a common history, so to say, because we had a long time we've worked together, and personally, my career in this field and area of sound started 15, 16 years ago. When I was starting my communication study here in Konstanz, with the focus of on communication design, and when I started communication design to think about what are the point of intersection for design and music, I recognized this field of sound design, and then I started to plan my career, so to say, in this field. And 2003, I started Audio Branding DE, a portal for corporate sound. And 2009, together with Kai and Cornelius, there was the start of ABBA, the Audio Branding Academy. And yeah, so sound, especially brand and UX sound, always played a big role in my life. And yeah, so I'm happy to talk with you about this.
Rainer, you mentioned the term UX sounds. What is UX sounds? So is it a functional sound, or what's the difference between UX sounds and functional sounds?
Yeah, functional sounds are UX sounds. So UX sounds, when we're talking about UX sounds, it's user experience. And user experience is not only the sound as itself, it's more the way of thinking about usage of sound in an experience. So also silence could be a UX sound. So the user experience regarding the audible way is meant to think about all the audible elements which plays a role in the user experience. So the UX sound, when you think to separate UX sound and UI sounds or functional sounds, so that UI sounds are a typical notification sounds and so on, and UX sound meant the behavior of usage of sounds in the experience. So that's
okay. And UI sounds, you mentioned, what is this? User interface sounds?
Yes.
Okay, this means it is about the conversation, the interaction between the machine and the human, correct?
Yeah, right. So, but UI sounds is a kind of synonym of functional sounds, and the topic of UX sound is more the kind of strategic thinking about usage of sounds in a user interface. So when it's the same definition we use in the visual way when we talk about UX and UI. When we are talking UX, it's not only meant the visual, the icons and the color. So it's more the behavior of what is the experience a user have in an interaction between a machine or a computer human interface.
Okay, I see. So we had a look on your website, and there you state your guiding principle is sound follows function. Could you please explain to our listeners or also to me what that means?
Yeah, sure. As I'm a, or we are really, we define ourselves not as a sound company. We define ourselves as a design company, and therefore we are really in the history of form follows function. So every design element, and in our case sound, have to serve a purpose. So they need to have a kind of a really senseful usage. So every single noise, every tone, every musical expression, whatever. So and that's our kind of our attitude. So when we are designing sounds, we try to designing sounds which make sense. So that's meant by sound follows function.
Okay. And what are the main tasks when it comes to designing functional sounds?
There are the main functions for sounds for specific applications. For example, which framework conditions have to be considered? So when you are when you're thinking about designing a sound for a specific function, it's important that you know what is the framework or the technical framework? What are the human factors of the target group, for example, and so on? It's a kind of mixed status quo you have to take into account.
Mm-hmm. And is there any legal basis, e.g., are there DIN norms? And how is the norm built? Are there any requirements, for example, how long the sound should be, which frequency range, number of tones, etc.? So what do you have to consider?
It depends on the industry. For example, in the medical industry, in the medtech sector, there are specific definitions for sounds. For example, for a high priority, for the users, in the case, in this case, a nurse or a surgeon, in terms of the repetition patterns or the frequency spectrum. So these are standards you have to consider. And in other industries, there are other norms. For example, in the automotive industries, right now we have the thing of the ABAS, so that's a totally different category and with other with another background. But we are especially for Audity, we are really specialized, especially in the medtech industry, and there are these patterns and frequency spectrums as an important requirement.
Okay, you just mentioned ABAS, if I got it right, in the automotive industry. ABAS, what does that mean? Kind of acronym, abbreviation, I guess.
Yes, it's an alarming system. It's an audible vehicle alarm system. that you have to take into account when you are selling cars right now. So because it's not legal when the car is silent, an electric car or a hybrid car, and therefore the cars need to have a kind of audible expression, which is quite similar to the now well-known sound identity we have from combustion engines. We have learned in our human history. So what is the sound of a typical car? And it's all for a safety reason for pedestrians and for people. For example, blind people that they hear, okay, there's coming a vehicle, and so that's just a alarming system, an audible alarming system.
Okay. Apart from the legal standards, are there further restrictions you have to take into account? What are the biggest challenges? I guess, for example, the limited frequency range in different loudspeakers, the length of the sounds means also technical restrictions. What do you have to consider?
Yeah, indeed, there are some really important topics, especially in terms of the technology the client should use, and it's actually one of the most common topics when it comes to the implementation. So it's very important from our perspective to show the added value for a good sound quality to communicate. Although there's this additional cost internally, so that we have to give a reason for the people internally in this project team why they should. Should add more costs in terms of a better loudspeaker or a better system chain, a better technology, more memory size, and so on. But it's really important to make a kind of educational work with your client that it makes sense to think about 10 cents more for a technical part. So, yeah.
Okay.
And how can we imagine the workflow between you and your clients, Rainer? At what stage of the process are you usually involved into the project? At an early stage during the product development, or rather at the end when the product is almost completed?
It depends. We had the experience that we are coming on different stages into the project. Currently, we are lucky that we are often involved in the design process at a really early stage. So that from our perspective, manufacturer has understood that it's really important to consider this acoustic potential as early as possible. So there are also projects where nearly everything is done. So the UX design is done, the whole thing, the whole technical requirements are fixed, and then they recognized, we need a sound. That's also possible. But as I said before, now we are recognized that the manufacturer are recognized it's important to think about sound design in early stage. And when it comes to this project, then it's in the most thing like everywhere and I think in every design process, it's really agile and it's a lean process. It's like a ping pong between the whole design team, not only between the client and us, no more the interwork between the visual sound design, the visual designer, the UX designer, the product manager, and so on. And it's quite similar to other design processes right now.
Mm-hmm. And Are there any examples when the product designers were inspired by your sound design and changed some functions or adapted the design to your sounds?
Yeah, actually, we made the experience that a typical sound first design inspiration are welcome scenarios. For example, in the mobility topic. So when a completely new level of meaning is explored with in terms of what kind of emotion I want to convey. And convey subconsciously. So when I have this entry situation in a mobility, for example, a car, then it's more an emotional thing, which is translated and convey via sound, and that carries also sometimes visual or haptic inspiration. And therefore, there are welcome scenarios. Visually welcome scenarios, and then we came into play and think of a completely different way. So it's more emotional thing. So it's subtle and subconscious, and then sometimes the decision came up. Oh, wow, okay, we have to think about our visual expression, or we have to add haptic and tactile features, and so. And that's a typical inspiration part where sound sometimes is the first, or is a kind of gave impulses to other disciplines.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Rainer, you also offer audio branding. That means to what extent is it possible to include the brand sound when you design functional sounds?
To be honest, right now, from my perspective, the UX sound or UI sounds are the new brand sound ambassadors, because you hear the sounds a lot more than the classical advertising sounds or classical advertising applications, and therefore it's a kind of logical extension for the brand sound as itself. So, for example, when it's about the defined melodies or rhythm patterns, there are also a kind of foundation for the UX sound or for a functional sound. So, but for me, it's a kind of the next level of brand sound. It's not it's a kind of interplay between brand and the typical functional sound.
But I guess sometimes it's pretty difficult to integrate or to respect the brand sound, you know. When you have restrictions regarding the functional sounds, it's different than designing brand sounds for media, for traditional media like TV, radio, online.
Yeah, we have to differentiate between the situation when there is a defined brand sound strategy, which was defined for a typical mass media. So, and for example, when there are a lot of noises or sample based topics, which are really difficult to implement in a user interface, for example. But when you have the situation that you can define from scratch, so. Then of course you take into account all kinds of application and all areas of applications, and then you can define, for example, a concept which makes sense and which is scalable for products, digital products, physical products, and other communication channels.
Okay. Yes. Let's talk about voice assistants. When we think about the rise of voice assistants, the great importance, how important are functional sounds in the development of skills for the voice assistants?
I think it's really important that that you design a holistic experience and that you think about the voice and the and the functional sounds as an ensemble, as an interplay. And it's important, first of all, to define the character, the personality. And this personality, the expression of the personality is then translated via the voice and the functional sounds. And yeah, so it's a holistic approach.
Mm-hmm. And let's have a closer look into one of your main areas of expertise now, sounds for medical devices. You mentioned it earlier on. I read in an article that there's a problem that too much sound is implemented in medical devices and that there are efforts to reduce unneeded alarms. To a certain extent, this may be possible. However, functional sounds for medical devices can be extremely important to support the hospital staff and the patients. So do you see any possibilities to make alarm sounds more soothing or less annoying for the patients and nevertheless make sure they don't lose their function?
Yeah, it's a really important topic and a good question. So from my opinion, you should firstly think about the basic way of the transmitting of the sound in the medical environment. So is it really necessary that the patient, for example, hear the ventilator and the alarm sounds, or it's not? Is it more sensible that only the nurse has to hear and perceive the sounds? So you have to think about the system of its own, not the sound as itself. Okay, at the end nowadays. We have a lot of situations where you should adjust the sound level, the frequency range. You can adjust a little bit and make it more pleasant and also hearable but from my perspective, it's the first step. You always have to think about how can we change the system, how can we change and how can we make it sensible that the patient have to be in a calm situation, especially when it's in the ICU, in the intensive care unit, where the patient is unconsciously perceive every sound, so and have an influence of the state of the health. So it's a kind of different levels. First level is this kind of how can we change the system, and the second one, how we can slightly adjust sounds in terms of the frequency for example, the sharpness of a sound to work against this alarm fatigue effect. It's called alarm fatigue. It's a common description in this case for the situation that a lot of alarms are switched off because they are really annoying. So it's called alarm fatigue. And so I think the first thing, change the system. Let's think about to change the system. And then the second one, make it feel right. So and have to take into account the patients. So it's really important.
Yeah, it's very important. So that's really interesting. And it makes me think about the current situation we're all in at the moment, the corona pandemic, now that we're talking about intensive care units. I was wondering how you are handling the situation at Audity. How, according to you, will the current crisis affect the audio industry in general?
It's a good question. We at Audity, we deal with our creativity and we see a lot of opportunities and potentials right now, especially regarding this digital hype we have now. So it's everybody is at home. All the showrooms are closed. There are no trade fairs, so we have to think about what are the digital twins, what are the digital way or the virtual way to talk with people and to display new products and so on. We have also telehealth or e-health. So that's a really, really important thing right now that the the patients cannot go to the doctor, and though they have to communicate via apps and via digital ways, and there play sound, there's a really huge need for sound, also to think about what is the right way to using sound for these applications. Now we have the Corona app, so and are there needs, for example, for a kind of alarming system in the public area, so a kind of a warning tone when the people are coming too close together? I don't know, but there are really important questions, and we are all in a lucky situation that we have a lot of projects right now, so it's not extensional for us right now. So no, we are happy in this situation, and we have also this time to think about a creative way to deal with the situation. In terms of right now, we have a project, we called it "What is the sound of the coronavirus?" And we thought about what is from a aesthetic way and also from an intermodal way, how is it possible to translate the coronavirus and its characteristics and its biological function in terms of sound. And therefore we started this project, the coronavirus sound. What is the sound of coronavirus?
Okay.
And you find it on coronavirus-sound.com. It's a we started yesterday. We launched it yesterday, and it's really, really cool thing because it's an emotional way to feel and to communicate this abstract virus, which is nowadays 200% only displayed visually. So
So that's really interesting. So if we go onto your website, we can all hear the coronavirus in a way, the way you interpret virus.
Yes, and you see also what are our interpretation backgrounds, what are our suggestions, for example, what sound should have the spike, what sound should have be the envelope, sound should be the SSR in R strength, and so I think it's also a kind of impulse to think about in a different way. Just click on the website coronavirus-sound.com and have an ear to the coronavirus.
Okay, that's really exciting. Thank you.
I guess, is it also called sonification, what you did with this sound of coronavirus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a
kind of sonification.
It's a kind of sonification, but it's not a typical sonification. We didn't translate the R and R patterns one to one into tones. It's more a kind of artistic interpretation to make it feel, to make a kind of emotional
connection.
Yeah, emotional. It's a more emotional connection. Yeah, right.
Okay, so. As we said in the introduction, Rainer, you are also this year member of the jury for the International Sound Awards. I guess it's already your fourth time you are in the jury from the start. So what do you expect from the project this year?
Yeah, first of all, I really appreciate to be once again here for this great award. I think you guys did a really great job in for the industry. So that's first of all a big congratulations to all the work and to all the stuff you did. So the first of all, and I'm really looking forward to judge a lot of creative projects. I guess there are a lot of. Maybe some more voice orientated works, I can imagine. And although regarding the current situation, a lot of more digital based or digital orientated project, like sounds for digital devices. Maybe there could be a kind of some more user interface sounds, user experience sounds. But I think like the last year, I expect a lot of creative works.
Okay. Thank you, Rainer. Thank you for your time and your very interesting insights.
Yeah, thank you, both of you. It was fun, and I hope that we can meet us face to face as soon as possible.
Yeah, that would be great. So thanks and bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.
So that was it for today. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed our first IsoTalk. From now on, we will publish further interviews on a regular basis. If you don't want to miss our next episodes, subscribe to our podcast. We will also keep you posted about updates on the International Sound Awards 2020. For the time being, nobody knows whether the Reeperbahn Festival can take place in September. However, we will find a solution for the ISA Award Show to take place, if necessary, as a virtual event. In any case, we postponed the deadline for the application of projects to 14th of May 2020. If you want to submit a case, have a look onto our website www.international-sound-awards.com. Bye bye and take care.